Take your Bibles, please, and turn me tonight to John chapter 15. I really had intended on continuing what I had started a few weeks ago, but the Lord's been just working in my heart and life this week. And I have spent about a week in John chapter 14 in my own personal devotions, working my way through. And chapters 14, 15, and 16 are such remarkable passages leading up to chapter 17, which records the high priestly prayer of Jesus Christ and his desire to honor the Lord and to bring his saints into the ministry as his children, his communication with the Father, that they are one, and that he sought to bring those that God the Father had given to him into their purpose and ministry. And so I had just started chapter 15 this week, working my way through the first nine verses. And as we were at the Christian school there, we had a meeting that afternoon after I'd had my devotions in chapter 15, those first nine verses. We had a meeting and with the faculty and staff, and very special time as we asked them questions. Just feeling them out about their purpose and why, what the mission was of the school. And Dr. Watt was even offering them a nice gift card if they could quote it exactly. Were you able to give that away? Was not able to give it away. But they had a good idea of the mission. And we heard from different individuals. And then one of the men that teaches in the academy, Mr. Martinez, spoke up and he said, "Our mission is not to create Christmas trees, but to have fruit trees." And he really set the tone for the purpose of the mission. It wasn't exactly the wording of the mission statement of the school, but it was very good. And it just fit. He didn't know, but I had spent time in chapter 15, the first nine verses, in my own personal devotions that day. But the Lord, I think, used that to work in my own heart and life. It is very easy in a Christian ministry to spend time decorating Christmas trees. Now, what do we mean by that? People that have no life within themselves, no life of Christ, and yet we spend a lot of time trying to make them look like Christians. That's not our purpose. That's not our mission. Our mission is to see people saved and have life in Christ and bring forth the flowers and the fruit that follows. Not because of something that was tacked onto the tree, but rather something that came from within, Jesus Christ producing fruit in his children. He is the vine, and we are the branches. He's the one that sustains. He's the one that gives life. He's the one that bears fruit in our hearts and lives. And Mr. Martinez just nailed it whenever he said that our job is not to decorate Christmas trees. Our job is to work with children and see them come to faith in Christ, where they have new life in Christ, and see them bear fruit. That mission of reaching kids with the truth of the gospel and then letting the Holy Spirit of God and Jesus Christ work in their heart and lives is something that needs to take over the thinking of our local churches. It is so powerful. It needs to take over the thinking within our Christian schools. And that is, our job is not to walk around and try to say, "Oh, good, they all look neat and good." Well, they ought to look neat and good. They ought to wear their uniforms and they ought to look neat. But that's not it. There are a lot of people that have the right haircuts and have the right uniforms and are going to die and go to hell because they don't know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. I've had some conversations with some of the young people in my Bible classes this year, and we've dealt with this particular thing. We don't want you in this class just to adopt a biblical worldview. That's the temptation. We want you to adopt a biblical worldview. Tack that onto your life. I told the kids at the very beginning of the year, that's not our mission here at Santa Rosa Christian Academy. Our mission is for you to know Christ and have the life of Christ within you, and then we will share the scriptures with you that should codify an understanding of a biblical worldview so that you can live what Christ wants you to live. You can very easily go through all the things and just check the box on the biblical worldview scale. I spoke to them last week before we left on the trip, and I told the young people we're coming down here to the inn. And we've been dealing with the home. We've been dealing with why God said, I'm going to male, I created a male, I have a female that is the helpmeet for the male, and I want those two to come together and become one. There was no confusion of gender in the garden. Do I hear an amen?
Amen.
There was no confusion about what marriage was supposed to entail. But I told the kids, I said, we're not wanting you just to adopt, you know, what the Bible says. We want you to know it from the inside. This is God's will for me. This is God's will for my life. He's demonstrated that. And new life in Jesus Christ, salvation, produces fruit from Jesus Christ. And He's not going to take you down. We've been dealing with these homosexual Christians that have come out with all these churches. And what they've done is they go to the Bible and they try to twist the scriptures to make it all right for that it'd be acceptable for them to be male and male and female and female. No! No! True life in Jesus Christ always takes you back to the Bible. Amen?
Amen.
Always. Not to the Bible to take my view of the scripture, but to let the Scripture speak in my life. And the Holy Spirit of God and the Scriptures always agree. Always. If it goes against what God's Word says, it's not the right interpretation of the Scriptures. That's not Jesus abiding in me and I in Him. I want us to look at this passage of Scripture because the temptation, folks, is to just kind of add on all the things that the Bible says and kind of stick them on stickers. I got home late Friday night, and I grabbed a t-shirt, and I put it on. When I woke up the next day, I found stickers on my t-shirt that Preston had put on there. I don't know why he did it, but he put stickers on my t-shirt, so I wore that all night. I got up in the morning and looked down. What in the world? I was not awake. He'd put those stickers on there. Now, those stickers didn't make me sleep. Those stickers were not awards that I had won. They were decorations that he stuck on me, but it made no difference. So I want you to think for just a moment, a Christmas tree. We love decorating Christmas trees. When we had the kids, when they were very little, we used to go up to the Christmas tree farm, and we would kill a tree. That's what we were doing, right? We took our saw out there and we sawed it down, and the kids were so excited. We took it over there to the vibrator and it knocked all the leaves off of the limb so we'd look like Charlie Brown. And then we put it through this sling that wrapped it all up, and we threw it in the back of the pickup truck, and we went home and we decorated the Christmas tree. That Christmas tree was dead. It was green. As a matter of fact, the day before, the guy was very proud to tell us that they went through and with their truck and their sprayer, and they made sure that everything was painted green on the outside so that the trees did not have brown spots or whatever. It was all green. Does that speak of life? No. So we get the tree home, and we put it in the stand. Now, we get ours out of the attic or out of the storage area. And we'll bring our tree in there, and we'll set up the stand, and we put them out, we flop out all the things, and then my wife spends all the time fluffing the tree. Now, the interesting thing is there's not one lick of life in that tree. But it's eternally green because it's artificial. And we spend all of our time putting all these decorations on there, and that thing probably weighs 50 pounds more when we're all done, putting all of our favorite decorations on there. And we look back, We turn out all the lights, turn on the lights on that tree and say, man, that is beautiful. It's beautiful. And we would all agree, that's beautiful. But what's missing? Life. It has no life in its own. It's just decorations put on a tree that makes it look beautiful, but nothing has come from the inside of the tree. Nothing has been produced. That's an artificial tree. It's dead. Now let's go to a living tree. We got a nice little plant up here. It's got some yellow spots, which means it lacks iron. So I need to go get some supplements to put in there. But there's some nice green leaves here. Look at that one. And this thing will bear fruit. We've got some little ones out there where the peace lily will sit and up the thing. And what are those inside the pocket of the peace lily? Seeds. And if they're dried out and planted, it'll start another peace lily. They just grow that way. They produce fruit. Now, back a week or two ago, I walked in here on a Wednesday, and the plant, they're out there in the hallway right there, was all wilted and flopped down. Because we were out at Baghdad Community Center, and they didn't get watered. And so when we came in here, I said, oh, no! I rushed in there, I got water, and I put lots of water in there. And the next day, I come back up here, it was all full again. Because it had what it needed. It had life. It needed water, nutrients, in order for it to survive. What do you need, Christian? What's that? We need the water of the Word. We need the water of the Word. We need to be fed the bread of life. We need to be given the water of life. Because we are living, breathing believers in Christ. We need that which sustains life. I'm so thankful for the Holy Spirit of God tonight. He's the giver of life. He's the one that came into me the moment I called upon the name of the Lord and was saved. God gave the Holy Spirit to indwell. And by the way, everybody, I got all of Him. Amen. Do I hear an amen? Amen? I am sickened by what I hear. Well, you know, we just leaked the Holy Spirit out, and we just have to go back and say, you know, Holy Spirit, we need you to come back again because you leaked out. There's nothing biblical in that language, is there? That's a concept that's been brought about. We got the person of the Holy Spirit the moment we were saved, and He regenerated us. He gave us life. But what follows? Illumination, understanding of the Word of God. And when we don't know how to pray, who helps us? The Holy Spirit does. With groanings that cannot be understood, but He knows how to pray. If I don't know how to pray, I've oftentimes called upon the Holy Spirit and said, Lord, I just don't know how to pray. Holy Spirit, would you communicate what needs to be communicated in this particular situation? Because you know all the details, I don't. It's okay to pray that way. We're praying, 1 Corinthians 14 and verses 14 and 15, we're praying with the Spirit and with the understanding also. That's what Paul told the church at Corinth. We are to pray in the Spirit. We're also to sing with the Spirit and with the understanding also. When we open our hymn books and we sing, we're doing something that God wants done through His Spirit. He wants us to sing with understanding. If you're singing and you're not understanding, then you're not singing with the Spirit. That's something that is God's looking for in the lives of His children, because we are in Him. I want us to take a few moments tonight. Our time is almost gone here because I've been kind of laying the groundwork here of life in Christ and what that means for us here at Grace Bible Church as believers in Christ. Look at these first 9 verses. I am the vine, true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, He taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, He purgeth it, that it may bring forth what? More fruit. That's what He wants. He wants more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. What a picture is being drawn here, folks. Our connection with Jesus Christ is life-giving. It is fruit-giving. Verse 5, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered. And men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. What do we call that? Prayer. Intercession. Asking of God. So if I abide in him, I can ask what is willed, and it will be done unto you. That prayer connection. The branch with the vine. Abiding in him. Herein, verse 8, is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. Now we've seen that phrase, much fruit, used over and over and over again here. Much fruit. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. This is one of the most beautiful passages in the Gospels. There are many beautiful passages in the Bible, but there's something here, there's a thread that flows through this entire thing. This is talking about fruit born by Jesus Christ within the believer. That's what it's talking about here. We're not talking about salvation here. We're talking about fruit bearing. That happens after we are changed from death unto what? Life. Except a corn of wheat go into the ground and die, it cannot what? It cannot be birthed. It cannot grow. It has to go into the ground. It is born and it comes forth, and then it produces what? Fruit. God wants to produce fruit in our lives. Now be careful about fruit. There are a lot of people that try to trivialize fruit. If you don't know what the fruit is, then go to Galatians chapter 3, I believe it is, where we're listed. There are 9 different fruits that the Holy Spirit of God produces within the heart of life. These are realities: love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness. And the other 3 that are listed there, those are fruits that are born out by Jesus Christ living in our lives. I am in him, and I am able to bear fruit. Here's where people get off. What do they start doing? They stop abiding in the sense that they trust Jesus to produce fruit in their life, and they start tacking things on to the tree. Accomplishments. There's some people that say, I've been in Christian education for 50 years. Well, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord for that. But we began that sentence with I. Who's the one that uses us in any amount of service? It's the Lord. Any victories in hearts and lives are not us. It's the Lord that's doing that work. Any victories that take place within the school is not our doing, it's God's doing. Dr. Hobbs used to put it this way: anything that is good and brings glory to God, that's on the Lord. Anything that was wrong and wasn't done right, that's our doing. That's the flesh. And we have to take ownership of that. That's trusting the vine. Are you listening to me tonight? Now maybe you're here tonight and you don't know the vine. You don't know the vine. Becoming in Christ is the moment of salvation. What follows after that is the fruit bearing when we let the vine live in the branch. I watched my plants in my yard, you know, bloom and then produce leaves. And now we've got leaves on all of our trees and all of our blueberries are starting to pop out. We're starting to see fruit. And hopefully, early part of next month, we'll be out there picking blueberries. That's a beautiful thing that happened. Last year, we went through and snipped way back all of our blueberries. And they looked absolutely terrible. You automatically start thinking, they're dead. We'll be digging those up. But then something happens in the spring. They start putting out all kinds of new growth. And they start putting out flowers. That comes first. Beautiful flowers. And that's the promise of what? Fruit. Now, we did a lot of work last summer. After they bore, we did our trimming. We did our cutting. Because that's when you're supposed to prune. You don't prune them whenever they're trying to bear. You wait till they're all done, and then you cut them back. And then that new growth can come on, and then the flowers, and then the fruit that takes place. Where does that come from on those branches? It comes from the center vine. One thing interesting about blueberries, you're supposed to go and cut out the old growth every year. The old stalks need to be cut out at the bottom so that the new stalks can come on and produce fruit that is just so sweet and so tasty. But you got to do some trimming back, and it's not easy to do that. Sometimes that's the largest part of the bush, and you have to cut it down. And you remove it out of the way, and then that's the promise of new growth coming up. We used to prune our blueberries because we used them for switches for the kids whenever they were little. And we would go out there together, and we would pick our things. And we were pruning all the while. And sometimes we were pruning because that's what the Bible says, the tender shothar, the growth that was used for the discipline of children. But when you trim it back, and it looks awful to start with, when you look, just wait. Just wait. Because then you'll see the new growth start coming on out of that. It starts popping out of the old stem, new growth. And the next thing you know, you'll have limbs loaded with fruit. God wants the fruit. Abide in Him, and He in us, and we'll bring forth what? Much fruit. Fruit that will remain. In other words, it's not rotted. It won't fall off before its time. It will stay, it will turn color, and it will be sweet and enjoyable to everyone. Do you know, Christian, that when you're abiding in Christ and you're producing fruit for Him, you are a blessing to everybody else? Do I hear an amen? When you're not a blessing to others, something's going on. Something's going on in your life. Because we have a free will, we can allow ourselves to get away from abiding like we should. We start acting independent. We start moving over to Christmas tree decoration instead of fruit-bearing decoration that comes from inside. So that was something that refreshed my heart this week. And I went to Mr. Martinez. I talked for him for almost an hour. And he had a little bit of free time, and we talked about that. I said, I really appreciated that. He said, you know, that was one of my great struggles. When I first started in Christian education, I spent all my time decorating. I wanted my kids to be showcase material, and I was going to have it one way or the other. But then I began to realize that I wasn't helping these kids. I was just decorating them. And what I needed to be doing was praying for their soul and praying for them to know Christ and to abide in Him. And then they start bringing forth fruit that would remain. Something that wasn't tacked on, but something that came from the inside. Jesus bearing fruit in their lives. So I hope and pray tonight that we've been encouraged by the Word of God, and that we will allow the Word of God to teach us. My job, when I do my personal devotions, is not to go through and just tack on things. Oh, I've got to be kind today. But wait a minute. Can you be kind because of the fruit of the Spirit in your heart? Or is this just something that we do? We paste on the channel WKRG smile. Good evening, everyone. Isn't it a wonderful day in Mobile and Pensacola? We've got the news for you tonight. And they got on that little pasty smile on there, and oh, goody, we get the local news. What is that? It's a learned, prescribed behavior in front of the television. Is it real? No. It's just a put-on. Our job is not to be a put-on in the church. Our job is to be real and genuine, the branch abiding in the vine, and the vine abiding in the branch, bearing fruit that will remain. Father in heaven, I thank you so much for your word. Lord, teach us tonight that the work that you wish to do, the fruit that you wish to produce, is your work in our hearts and lives. But we need to be responsible and understand that we are to stay connected in the sense that we are your child and we want your will to be done in our hearts and lives. We want your fruit to be produced in our hearts and lives. And that means we need to feed and drink constantly the Word of God so that we might grow and the Holy Spirit can take that and use that in our hearts and lives as we abide in Jesus Christ. Lord, I pray that you do a work tonight in our hearts and lives and encourage us with this passage, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.